Ron, let's just visit tax preparation for the end of the year. Kind of pushing the time clock here already because it's going to come up fast on us. But are there some things that we need to be aware of as we're heading into the end of the year?
Yes. Number one, I would, if you have not already did so, please, make an appointment with your tax practitioner or one of us, farm business management instructor or another professional that you have on your agriculture business team to sit down and do an estimate, see where you are at tax-wise. That in the current situation, especially with the new tax code that got implemented, there are some new provisions that are going to modify, taxes for 2018 as compared to the tax or the old tax brackets. But for the most part, there are several changes, so please get that done. In preparation for that, one of the key things is be prepared. So get your records up to date. Have all of your cash income and expense records as updated as you can. We're already at the 18th of December, so our days are numbered. Again, the vast majority of the farms in our area do file taxes on a calendar base. Get that done. Also, keep in mind what you do have for possible other bills to get paid between now and year end, and some other possible revenues that may come in. Just heard late last night that the government did finalize the second half of the market facilitation program. So that is good news. The kind of wild card there is, when is that check going to be issued? And one of the things to keep in mind, that is not allowed to be deferred. So just another caveat for us to keep in mind.
Sure. Are you thinking if we need to, then do we not apply for that until after the first of the year?
Many people have chose that route. However, many producers have already submitted and received their first half. So they have provided yield documentation and they're, have applied for it. So those would be the individuals that already have finalized the process. Otherwise, if people have not signed up and do not want to take additional income, yes, just wait till after the first of the year and get it at that point. Okay. So,
yeah, basically at that point, it moves the income into next year then.
Okay. Oh, yes.
That's kind of real similar with the old 199A program then too, kind of, right?
Section 199A, that will kind of tie back in. The Section 199A, many of you probably are thinking of, what is Ron talking about? But this is a new law that got put into place with this new tax bill. It's eligible only for businesses that operate as a sole proprietorship or a pass-through entity, such as a partnership. Limited liability partnership, limited liability company, or subchapter S corporation. And in essence, there's a lot of different things to be looked at, and no way in a phone interview can I explain it all. But in essence, it does tie back to what your net Schedule F profit is. And generally speaking, just say if you do have end up with $100,000 of net Schedule F profit, you should be able to get a tax adjustment to the tune of between 11 to up to 20%. So it could be anywhere from roughly $11,000, maybe up as high as $20,000. That would be debited and would lower your adjusted gross income by that figure. So it's handled very similar to what many farms have got to know over the last couple of years, treated somewhat similar, but this is based on your farm numbers, not the co-op, but the former domestic production activity deduction, also referred to as the DPAD.
Okay. Yeah, so that was a big question last year with that 199A, so or through the co-ops. So let's see. We covered, again, too, be prepared to maybe have to file an estimate as March 1st or in
yes, what they're talking about with all of the new changes that are coming about, actually IRS and the people that are finalizing some of these things are still trying to interpret and come up with some rules, regulations, what's allowed, what's not allowed. So they're thinking it may be as late as the end of February before a lot of the tax software will be even developed for our tax practitioners to utilize. Hopefully it's a little sooner than that. So a lot of people are recommending, or maybe, some of your tax practitioners have already requested you to think of doing an estimate in January, and that will allow you time to then file your tax by the April 15th deadline. And some have even probably looked at filing for an extension that allows you to go out into midsummer before your tax return has to be completed. But you do need to at least file the estimate.
Okay. One of the other points they're talking about is don't show losses.
Yes, and that's one of the things why I mentioned it's good to go in and sit down with your tax practitioner, that it's not a good thing to end up having more expenses than income. Because there are some things that every year you do get so many dollars of credit through the personal exemption that we all got used to over the past has been eliminated, but they in essence have doubled the standard deduction. So for a married couple filing a joint return, that figure is up to $24,000. So if you have virtually adjusted gross income less than that, those would be dollars of tax credit that you would be ending up losing out on. So again, you do want to usually have some level of income to make sure that you make use of those annual credits, but also if you have children that are 16 and under, there is a child tax credit to the amount of $2,000 for each of those children. And once again, that goes and actually reduces your tax bill dollar for dollar. So that's paying in some self-employment and making use of the lower tax brackets is always a good thing. So that kind of ties into also being prepared from the all-around financial standpoint of knowing what's been the change to your inventory. Again, we did have a fair amount of variability throughout northwest Minnesota this past year. Some areas have missed out on some rains. I had some lesser than ideal yields. But in general, we had some pretty good yields. And depending on, you know, what people did for marketing, you know, we are seeing actually some, you know, flattening out or maybe some modest increases to inventory. So please keep that in mind. And, you know, just kind of think of paying a tax somewhat equivalent to what your accrual profit for the year is. So we don't, as they talk about, continually want to be kicking that income tax liability can forward year after year after year.
Right. Okay. New one too this year would be the depreciation in the trade-in documents, huh?
Yes. That is something that is new for this year, and it's tied back to the Section 1031 like-kind exchange. Most of us are familiar with that of, you know, if you sold a piece of real estate, if you happen to be somewhat in a developmental area next to a larger community, that sort of thing, you know, and got a real windfall price for it, and instead of paying some very sizable capital gains tax, you can go and repurchase a like-kind property, which would be farmland for farmland, that sort of thing. That is still in place, but what they did take away in the changes that you'll see this year is that personal property, which includes machinery and equipment, no longer are considered eligible for the 1031 like-kind exchange provision. So the example that I've been using in the past, for example, if you traded tractors here in 2018, and the stated price of your new purchase is $250,000, the equipment dealer gives you a credit of $100,000 for your trade-in. Let's just say you're trading in the tractor that you want to upgrade, so forth, and he credits you $100,000, and you've got a live or a payment or boot price owing to the dealership of $150,000. In the past, we would have just looked at the $150. That's what we can use the Section 179 expense provision that would allow us to write that all off in the year that we bought the tractor. Or if we finance a lot of it, we'd probably want to put the majority of it on a depreciation schedule. This year, that is going to be treated differently. So again, as you meet with your tax people or the information, make sure you bring copies of those trade documents in so that you have the exact numbers of, you know, what the original purchase price was, the trade-in allowance, and those type of things. So again, this year, the full purchase price of the $250,000 would be available for Section 179 or to put on depreciation. The caveat gets to be the trade-in amount, that $100,000 that we talked about. Let's just make the assumption that traded-in tractor had a zero tax basis remaining, that you'd taken all of the $100,000 and used as expenses in prior years. You have to now treat that as income that would not go on Schedule F. So the kind of the big thing to keep in mind here, that it is going to favor the farmer, that by lowering what your net Schedule F is. However, it is going to bring in, and a lot of people, if you had a trade like this, you're going to have that $100,000 of trade-in that you have to claim as recapture of depreciation that is taxed at as ordinary income, just like your Schedule F profit after the self-employment tax, or if you have interest income, W-2 income. It just all comes onto the Frontier 1040 and, you know, becomes part of your adjusted gross income for the year. So that is definitely a big change, but is something to look at. The other caveat, that trade-in tractor, that $100,000 that I was referencing, also is eligible for that that Section 199, or that 11 to possibly 20% credit through the that new tax code. So again, keep that in mind as well.
Okay. Also, so it doesn't really become capital gains then. It's a little different, handled differently.
Yes, that is one thing that does confuse a lot of farmers. You know, anytime they sell anything, you know, most of the time they reference that it's going to be, well, the capital gains tax is going to kill me. With machinery, the only time you're going to have a capital gain is if you actually sold an item for a figure higher than what you originally purchased it for. So the old example that a lot of us will use is, you know, the 4020 John Deere tractor that you might have bought many years ago, say for $8,000, and you sold it this year and you got $10,000 for it. And it was fully depreciated out in that situation. $2,000 of that sale price would be a capital gain that is actually, for most of us, would be at a lower tax rate than our ordinary income tax tables are, and then the other $8,000 would be the ordinary ordinary income. Yeah, one other thing that I may mention that just, you know, in general, with this new tax law, for the majority of people that are sole proprietorships or partnerships, all of the tax rates, we still have 7 tax rates for both married couple and joint. The tax brackets were lowered each bracket by roughly 3%. And there were some adjustments, especially for married filing joint were in the lower brackets. Some of the brackets widened out. So there should be a little bit of tax savings for most people. But it's not a huge windfall saving that many people had in mind coming into the year after all of the press that we heard about last spring.
All right, Ron, I appreciate the time here. Thank you much.